We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Chosh Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Seidus, Halacha Hey, Paragraph Gimel. We mentioned that this halacha is based on chapter 82 in the second half of Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal deals with the concept of Keseder and Shaloi Keseder. That's one major point in that chapter. And also Rabbeinu Zal deals with the topic of Tshuva, and he speaks about tshuva in the context of two sections. He uses the example of Moshe Rabbeinu, who showed us the true path of tshuva by excelling in both areas, in Aliyah and Yerida, Nekuda Elyona, Nekuda Tachtoina. And Rabbeinu Zal shows over there that it's very easy for people on both levels to fail. Nekuda tachtoina, in a yerida, when a person is going through problems, suffering, there are many people that instead of realizing that that's a phone call from Hashem, that's an SMS saying, wake up, buddy, I'm calling you. Like somebody punches somebody to jar them to wake up, to come close, and the person misinterprets it and takes it as a rejection or whatever and uses it as an excuse to move further away from Hashem. That's yerida. And then there's the issue of Aliyah, that there are many people, unfortunately, who when they succeed materialistically, spiritually, in whatever way it is, instead of saying, wow, Hashem, thank you so much, now I'm even going to get closer to you, the person misinterprets it again and Chas v'Shalom forgets about Hashem and thinks that they're doing it, it's their success, I built the I word, you know, Rachmona Litzlan. And these are referred to as Nekuda Tachtoina, Nekuda Elyoina. And Rabbeinu Zal over there showed how Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who showed that he could reach down to the lowest places and still remain totally connected to Hashem. And also in his Aliyah, as he was going higher and higher, U Moshe Olo Elho Elikim. However far he went up, he was always going up to Hashem. It was always bringing him closer. And Rav Nosson Zal is using this concept of these two parts, the Aliyah, the Yerida, the Nekuda Tachtoina, the Nekuda Elyoina, regarding our halacha, our topic, which is the topic of two witnesses, the need for two witnesses to establish the truth. Paragraph Gimel, Nimtza, we conclude, therefore, based on what we learned till now, She'ikar ho'emes, that real truth is only when you can merge together, unite the lower level and the higher level, kanal as we discussed earlier. The word emes, the aleph and the tuf, the top and the bottom, bringing them together. And this is the concept of the need for two witnesses. Because when two people are both in perfect agreement about what they saw and about what they're coming to testify, this is also an example of the two levels, upper level and lower level, coming together. So a person would say, who are you calling lower level? What do you mean? Who says a Ki bechol mokoim sheyesh shnayim Yisrael, because whenever you have two Jews, meir bohem bechina shnei hanakudo yisanal, these two aspects of light from Hashem are shining into them, an upper level and a lower level. Ki bevadai ein shnei bnei odom shovim, because two people are definitely never exactly alike, equal. Ubevadai hoechod godol mechaveroi, and most definitely one is on a higher level than the other. Ukamashekosud b'mishna le'inyan shnei edim, as we find in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, where it discusses the judges interrogating the witnesses. The wording in the Mishnah is machnisenes hagodol tchila, we take the greater one first, and we question him, and then we take the other guy. So we see the Mishnah is making it perfectly clear that when there are two, there's a Godel and there's the other one. That's normal. V'chol mokom sheyesh Godel v'koton, and whenever there's one that's higher and lower, and another one that's lower, heim nimshochem b'shoroshom mibechina shnei nekudos hanal. On a spiritual level, they are plugged into the Aleph and the Tav, the upper and the lower. Shehim nekuda elyoinu, nekuda tachtoinu. Ukishe'elu hashnayim nichlolin yachad. And when these two are able to get together in a perfect way, vo'imrim edusan b'shove, and they testify in an identical way, exactly the same, he'eminu lehem ha'toira kemoy lameya. The Torah has given them trust. We've put trust in them like we would trust 100 people coming. Ki bevadai divrayim emes, because most definitely we can assume that they're speaking the truth after we've interrogated them, after we've done what we could do. Ki ikar hu emes hu rak al yidei zeh, because real truth, establishing real truth, can only be accomplished through this. How? Al yidei shenichlolin shnei hanakudos yachad, by upper and lower being able to join together, to partner. Shezeu bechina shnei edim shemechavnim divreim. This is the concept of two witnesses who corroborate each other's testimony. Ushneim oimrim b'shov, and they both say the same thing. Shezeu bechina shenichlalu shnei hanekudos yachad. This is an example of the nekuda elyoina, the nekuda tachtona, the sun and the moon. We know when Hashem created the world, Hashem could have created, Hashem could get a billion watt light bulb, he had no problem, but he chose to have two. Hamoer ha-godol lememsheles bayoim, hamoer ha-koton, a greater one and a lower one. Rabbi, student, husband, wife. Every, we have examples throughout Yiddishkeit of this nekuda elyoina, nekuda tachtoina. And when they both unite like this, shezeu b'china shenichlalu shnei hanekudos yachad, that both of these nekudos have come together, sheze ikar ho'emes. That's the real truth. The real truth is only when these two can come together. And this also explains another major item. We know that the Torah is the book of truth. The Torah is the ultimate book of truth. Can one person succeed in Torah? It's very rare. The Torah gives us an example dating back all the way to the beginning that the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Imein Kemach Ein Torah. If there's no Tiki, no Washi. If there's no money, then there's no Parnasa, then there's no Torah. So you need these two Nekudos. You need Yisachar, you need Zvulun. There are some people who are able to combine both. There are people who learn and work. But again, that's nekuda al-yoinat kartayna. The Torah says, smach zvulun b'tzeisecha v'yisachar bo'yalecha. Zvulun, rejoice when you go out, and yisachar when you stay in the tent. Yisachar are the ones who remain in the tent of Torah, in the Beis Medrash. Zvulun are the ones that go out. It's through the combination of both that the emes is established. The emes is the Torah, the word of Hashem. The light of Hashem is transmitted to Klal Yisrael, to each family, through the combination of nekuda elyoina, nekuda tachtoina. V'zeh, and this is why paragraph Dalid. V'zeh, and this is why the pasuk says, al pi shnayim edim yokum dovar. Through the testimony of two witnesses, a dovar will be established. Something will be established, but look at the wording. Rav Nosson Zal says, Yokum Dovor Daika. The Torah chooses that word specifically, Dovor, ki Dovor Zebchinas Malchus. Because the word Dovor is associated with Malchus. We've had this many times before. Rabbeinu Zal in chapter 4 in Likutei Moran quotes a Gemara, where the Gemara says, Dabor Echod Lador, one ruler to a generation, one speaker. Person who speaks, everybody be quiet, I'm talking. That means he's the melech, he's the one, he's the authority, he's the one in charge. So dovar refers to malchus. Bechinas chava, which is represented by chava in the context of Adam and chava, Shehu bechinas hadibur. Chava means speech. There's a pasuk in Tilim, v'laylo l'laylo yechave doas. The word lechavot means to speak, to communicate. Shehu bechinas hadibur, shehu bechinas malchus peh, which is associated with the mouth, which within the spheroids, the midos of Hashem, the mouth represents malchus. When we refer to the seven spheroids as all being in the head, the right eye is chesed, the left eye is gvura, the nose is teferis, the upper lip is netzach, the lower lip is hoid, the tongue is yesoid, and dibur, the speech, is malchus. Dibur is malchus. Shemishom nimshach b'china shaloi keseder. And we know that it's from malchus, from the woman, that the aspect of shaloi keseder, that the disorder comes into being. Kishemechalkin chas v'sholom hamalchus li'atzmoi, kemo shekosu shom. As Rabbi Nizal explains over there in Likut Imran, when is the malchus cause disorder? When a human being tries to take the malchus for himself. Instead of devoting the malchus to Hashem, instead of giving over the malchus to Hashem like we do when we say Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimah, we're making it perfectly clear Hashem is king, not me. When we don't do that, when a human being, when a man tries to show too much authority, too much Anoem Loich, I'm king, he separates the malchus from Hashem, from Keseder, then the malchus functions as Shaloi Keseder. By the way, the word melech is Shaloi Keseder. Mem is 40, lamed is 30, chaf is 20. The word melech is upside down, and it's out of order, and the Zohar HaKadosh speaks about that. Ve'ikar hatikun, and the main way that we solve this problem, when there is this Shaloi Keseder, is lohorim ulohokim es hadibur, to elevate, to lift up the speech, bechinas chava, the woman, bechinas malchus, to lift it up to where? L'sharoshoi, to its roots, to its origin, which is lebechinas keseder, to take the shaloi keseder and plug it into keseder, which we said is Hashem, yudke vavke, Adam. V'ze nase al yinei shnei ho'edim sho'imrim edus emes. And this is accomplished when two witnesses come and testify honestly. They tell the truth, the kanal, as we said earlier. V'ze al pi shnayim edim yokum dovor shemekimim umeirimim b'chinas dovor. They lift up and they establish the dovor, b'chinas malchus peh, that dibur, the dabor echod lador, the malchus. Bechina shaloi keseder, how? L'sharoshoi, by elevating it and plugging it into its source, its roots, which is lebechinas keseder, how? Al yedei shemegalin ho'emes shebein habaledinim. By these witnesses coming forward and presenting what really happened. These two litigants are, I gave it to you for, no you didn't. There's a whole disagreement between the litigants. When the witnesses come and set the record straight, we were there. We will tell you exactly what happened and in what order it happened. When they do that, the Nekuda and Elyo Nekuda, the Aleph and the Tav coming together, they establish the Emes. And this is one of the tikkunim for the Malchus. They take the Malchus, the Dibur, the Dovar, and they plug it into, which is Shaloi Keseder by nature, and they plug it into Keseder. Paragraph Hey. V'ze b'chinas goydel malas ha-sholoim u'gnus ha-machloikis. And based on this, we can understand the incredible importance in Yiddishkeit, in life, to have peace and to avoid conflict, machloikis. How gnai means how despicable, how disgusting, how terrible is conflict, machloikis. K'moy shom rabbi sein ozal, as the Gemara says, sonui ha-machloikis, conflict is something that people hate, that's to be hated, v'godoil ha-sholim, and peace is so important, so good. Ki kol ma shenechlo l'nyoyser kama anoshim Yisrael yachad b'sholim v'avo, Because the more you can bring together larger numbers of Jews who can get together in a peace, with peace, love, and peace, nichlolim beyoser hanekuda sanal yachad. You're bringing together the nekuda elyoina, the nekuda tachtoina. You're merging them together more and more. V'nichlal beyoser b'chinas sheloi keseder b'chinas keseder. And you keep repairing, fixing, plugging in the sheloi keseder into the keseder. Sheze ikr tikun kol ha'olamos. This is the main tikkun for the entire creation, for all the worlds, shenivru b'shvil zeh, which were created for the purpose, for this purpose. It's all about, the whole purpose of the Bria is so that the sheloi keseder should be able to be plugged into the keseder. And anytime you have more people, each and every person is either a nekuda elyoina, nekuda tachtoina, depending on where he's at and depending on relative to who you're talking to. This person is a big rabbi. Compared to his rabbi, he's a student. When we put him next to his rabbi, he's nekuda tachtoina and his rabbi is nekuda elyoina. When we put him next to his grandson, he's nekuda elyoina. So the more you bring together Yidden, who unite, there's Sholem and Ava between them, you're bringing together Nekuda Yisalya, Alephs and Tufs, Nekuda Elyon Tachtoina, and you're increasing the tikkun of the world. Ukemuvon Lamaskil Batoiranal, as would be clear to anyone who understands the chapter in Likut Emran that this halach is based on, that chapter 82. Vialkein, Moshe Rabbeinu, B'chol pam shehoya machloikes olav al arayin, and this is why Moshe Rabbeinu, every single time he was confronted with machloikes, with conflict, with people going against him and his brother Aaron HaKohen, what was his response? How did he deal with it? V'nachnu mo, we are nothing. Let's remind ourselves again, let's repeat again, I'm nothing, I'm nobody. He was mashpil himself each time. V'chein v'aharoin mahu ki salinu alav. What is Aharon that you're making a whole big issue that you're fighting with? What's Aharon? Aharon's nothing. I'm nothing. He's nothing. What are we? Who are you fighting with? Who are you arguing with? Who are you debating with? Ki ikr hatikun al yidei b'chinas mo. Because the main tikkun when there's conflict, and the main tikkun of the creation is this term mo that we spoke about in the previous year. Remember, mo was one of the forms of the name of Hashem. Yud kei vav kei, when it's written with aleph. Yud vav dalet heyav. And mo is referred to as Hashem, the bechin of keseder of Hashem. Mo is begematria odom, which refers to odom, odom rishon, who compared to Chava, he is keseder. Remember, in the word Adam, it's the letters are in the proper order. Aleph is 1, Dalet is 4, Mem is 40. It's going in order. Whereas Chava, every letter is out of order. First comes Ches, then you're going backwards, 2 letters to Vav, and then you're going further back to He. Completely, Chava represents Shaloi Keseder. Adam, Mo, represents Keseder. Ki kol hacholkim hanelchamim negdoi, because all those who are opposing a person, all those who opposed Moshe Rabbeinu, and anyone who is opposing someone else, is an example of disorder. Because again, order, when things are in order, means everybody's quiet, everybody's okay. When people are in a state of conflict, that's called Shaloi Keseder. They're trying to turn the emes, the real, upside down from its proper order. And therefore the solution for this is bechinas mo. To emphasize the mo means odo, mo means keseder, and mo is also nothing. I'm nothing. Shetzrichin levate latzmoi. The person has to nullify themselves, negate themselves. Bechinas mo. And then everything, his wife, his enemy, everything will plug into keseder. And the shaloi keseder will disappear. And through this, all of the person's enemies and all of their opposition will be eliminated. Sheyonkim misham, they draw strength and nourishment and power misham. Mebchina shaloika seder, when they're shaloika seder. Ki hakoil nizbatel al bechinas aydei bechinas mo shvichas kaseder, because this magic potion, this power called mo, which is nothing, which is adam, that has the ability to that which is kaseder, that has the ability to eliminate when it's given the proper energy. When you strengthen it, it's able to wipe out and eliminate all the shaloi kaseder. And here Rabbeinu Zal is giving advice in Likutei Moran, and Rav Nosson Zal is emphasizing it, as to one of the most important ways that a person should deal with conflict or opposition. Usually, it's not always, but usually, if when a person has somebody opposing them, if instead of locking horns, if instead of going head to head, you will lower yourself, even if you know you're right, even if you know you're 100% right, usually that will resolve the conflict and it'll lead to peace and it'll lead to all kinds of good things. There are some people who think that if they don't win, if they don't come out on top, if the other side doesn't realize that I'm right, then I won't be able to live with myself. I'll kill myself. There are people like that. That's called nitzochin. A person feels they have to be right. Khrushchev, the prime minister, whatever he was, of Russia, of the Soviet Union, once came to the United Nations to speak. And people were laughing because this guy came off like a clown. He's living in a bubble. This guy don't know what the real world is all about. He's saying communism is the sweetest, most wonderful thing in the world. Our country is full of prosperity, when everybody knew it was total baloney. So people were mumbling, grumbling. He took off his shoe at one point and started banging with his shoe on the podium, like as if he was in the 1700s. And he said, listen here, we are for peace. We, the Soviet Union, are for peace. If we have to destroy everybody, there will be peace. If we have to wipe out the whole world, there'll be peace. So again, that's certain people's perceptions of what peace means. That peace at home could be if I put a bullet in my wife and my 12 kids and I break a couple of dishes and break. After that, it's everything's quiet. It gets quiet in the house. But we know that that's a different kind of peace. There's a different kind of peace, which usually, if a person can lower themselves, can back down a little bit, can humble themselves, if the other side is semi-normal, they will recognize, they will realize, when you're not punching them in the face, when you're not confronting, going head to head, if the other side has any iota of decency and normalcy, they'll come around and recognize it. They were also wrong. We've mentioned many times, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in chapter 1, in the second half of Likutei Moran, the secret power of Rosh Hashanah, in the fact that Rosh Hashanah comes out on Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Hashanah is one of the only holidays that comes out on Rosh Chodesh. Pesach is on the 15th of the month, Sukkot is on the 15th, Shavuot is on the 6th. Rosh Hashanah is on Rosh Chodesh. Rabbeinu Zal explains why is that. Because Rosh Hashanah is the day, the opening day of the 10 days of Tshuva. Tshuva means the whole world is supposed to come to Hashem and say, Chata, Hashem, I'm sorry. I made all kinds of mistakes and everything. Most human beings find that difficult to impossible to do. To admit that I'm wrong and to apologize, most people have a very big problem with that. So Rabbeinu Zal says, you know what Hashem does? Hashem says, I'm going to make it easier for them. Hashem created a situation, a whole story with the sun and the moon, that originally they were created equal. And then the moon came and said, can't have two guys in charge. You can't have two captains of a ship. Hashem said, you're right. You're 100% right. You become assistant captain and the sun is the captain. So the moon said, why? What did I do? What did I say? Why should I go down? Hashem said, you're right again. We'll give you the stars to compensate. And the Gemara in Chulin has a whole shakla v'tarya, a whole negotiation that took place between this Hashem and the moon. And in the end, Hashem said, you know what? You're right. And therefore, the Jewish people, on your day, on Rosh Chodesh, will bring a special sacrifice as an apology from me to you. The Torah actually says, "Useir izim echot chatos l'Hashem," that we bring one goat as a chatos for Hashem, lechaper, to atone. It's Hashem's way of saying, I'm sorry. If I did anything, if I wronged you in any way, I'm sorry. Hashem is the ultimate in perfection. Hashem did that for us, because we need to be able to come to Hashem and say we're sorry, and some people would rather die than say I'm sorry. They'd rather kill themselves than have to apologize. But if the other side, if I get into a terrible fight with somebody and I know that I said things that were wrong, I know I definitely did things that were wrong, and the other guy comes over to me and says, you know, I thought about what happened, and I realized I said some real stupid, silly things. I realized I was really very wrong. And if I would have handled this right, this never would have happened. Most normal people, when they hear that, and they know that they were also wrong, they know that they also did things that the person will say, well, if that's what you're saying, then I guess I also wasn't perfect. I guess I could have done things differently also. And in that way, the person makes it so much easier for the other side to be able to apologize. When a person knows that the other side was wrong in 90 different things, and I was wrong in 2, and I go over to the other person and say, you know, I thought about the situation, I want to apologize. There are these 2 things that I said that I definitely shouldn't have said. And if I say that and I really mean it, usually the other guy's going to say, well, if that's what you're saying, either they'll say it or for sure they'll think it. Wow, if he's saying he was wrong, what about everything I said? You know, I certainly, and that makes it, that's Kaviyochel Hashem setting an example for us that when there's conflict and a person, instead of going head to head, chooses to humble themselves, to put their head down, usually that will lead to shalom, that'll lead to all kinds of great things. And again, that was the underlying message in this chapter on Likutei Moran. Now we continue. Paragraph Vav, V'zeh b'chinas tvilas mikvah. And this is also the significance of a person dipping in the mikvah. And here he's referring not to women where it's a halachic requirement, he's referring to even men going to the mikveh for the sake of purification, for the sake of tshuva, as part of a tshuva process, to cleanse my soul, to cleanse myself. Ki kol hatumois nimshachim mebechina shaloi keseder. Because all different forms of impurity are the result of Sheloika Seder, a result of a disorder. There's a disorder, and that leads to blood, that leads to this, that leads to somebody dying, death. All the different forms of tumah that the Torah speaks about are different variations of Sheloika Seder. Shehu Bechinas Dinim, which is also a concept of din, judgment, harshness. Shemishom Yenikas Hasitrachra, that's where the other side draws its strength from. Umisham kol hatumais. That's where all different types of impurity come from. They come from shaloika seder. Ukisheroitzin letaheratzmoi. And when a Jew wants to purify himself, tzrichin levatelatzmoi. The person has to nullify themselves. They have to negate themselves. Bebechinas mo, I'm nothing. Ulehi kolel bebechinas keseder. And thereby plug into order, real seder. V'zeh al yidei tvilas hamikvah. And a person accomplishes this by dipping in the mikvah. Ki shiur mem sah, because we know the measurement, the minimum measurement of a mikvah is 40. 40 sah, as the Gemara says. 40 sah is the minimum measurement of a mikvah. כנגד ממיועים שבוהם עול המוישה ואוסו דרך כבושה לתשובה כנעל, which corresponds to the 40 days in which Hashem, in which Moshe Rabbeinu cleansed the Jewish people from their greatest impurity when they were involved with the golden calf, the Egel Azov, Avodah Zarah, and Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to clean us up. He went up for 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom Kippur, came down with a success that Hashem forgave us. So the 40 saw of the mikveh corresponds to those 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu spent up in heaven. Shaydeze nichlal hakoil bebechinas keseder, because the tshuva process is what helps that all the shaloi keseder, all the disorder, all the things that I did that were out of order, should plug into a proper order. I'm going to go back to being a good boy. I was bad before. I was shalo beseder, and now I'm going to be beseder. And therefore, by a person submerging himself in a mikveh that's 40 saw, bechinas mem hanal, which is that mem of emes, which is a bridge which can take a person from the bottom of the bottom, from tough. Tough is the last letter. The mamish, the person reached the end. From tough to take the person all the way up to aleph. That's what that mem does. And what does the person do in the water? They seclude themselves. It's like burying. Person goes down into a mikveh. It's like he's humbling himself. Number one, he's undressing. We know the clothing of the person is the respectability of the person. We mentioned this many times. Person comes into shul wearing shorts and that'll earn him a certain type of respect. And even if a person walks into shul with a beautiful three-piece suit, but he's wearing torn sneakers, you know, the slightest defect in the clothing is a defect in the cover, the respect of the person or the respect for what's going on. Person dresses up for an occasion, they consider it something important. Something. Person dresses up to go see somebody, then they're showing respect to that person. Those people who can walk into shul with torn jeans and sneakers and then sit and put their feet up on this, they don't get it. They don't realize that they're meeting with the Creator. They're meeting with the King of Kings, who certainly deserves some serious respect to dress for the occasion, to dress for the person you're going to see. So when a person goes into the mikveh, they remove all their clothes, which is their kavod, and they go down into the water and they submerge themselves completely. It's like I'm negating myself. Can't speak, a person becomes nothing, like he's nullifying himself to the water. Venis batel shun. He becomes batel to the mikveh. This connects him to that level called mo, which is nothing, which is nothingness, that high spiritual level, bebchinas keseder, shaydeze nizbatlin kol hatumois, and this helps to release the person and rid the person from all different types of tuma, shenimshochem bebchinas shaloi keseder, which all come about through shaloi keseder, through sins and other things, all different examples of shaloi keseder. And the person comes up, they leave the tuma, the impurity, and they enter into tahara. Ki nichlal bebechinas keseder, because they're plugging into keseder. If you recall, we mentioned in a previous halacha, not that far ago, 5-10 pages ago, we spoke about that before creation was called keseder. After creation, compared to before creation, is a concept of shaloi keseder. Before creation, it was only Hashem. Hashem is perfect order. Once there was Hashem and something else, Hashem and the world compared to Hashem is not perfect. There's no longer. It definitely has gone down a level or a billion levels, you know, whatever it is. But Rav Nelson Zalat said there, but even the world, the moment it was created, at the first moment it was created, it was the closest thing possible to before creation. in purity and in truth and everything. It's only as time, like you buy a brand new car, not a single scratch on a single, it's new, it's perfect. A couple of days go by, a couple of weeks go by, it's no longer perfect. It's used, it got scratches, dents, bumps, this don't work, that don't, all of those things. Lahavdil, the same thing with creation. As soon as Hashem created the world, right after Hashem created the world in its original state was wall-to-wall water. It was all water. And then Hashem separated the upper waters from the lower waters to create the hemispheres, to create countries and everything. So Rav Nosson Zal writes in other places, that's another reason why when a person goes into the mikveh, when a person submerges themselves completely in water, they're plugging into, they're connecting to the world in its original state, in its purest form, before it got messed up, before everything, that level of purity. That beetle, that negating myself completely, I become nothing. We know that under the water, a person can't breathe. The person is almost helpless. They can last a couple of minutes at most, and that's it. Now, Rav Nosson Zal adds, Va'ayin bekavonois. Take a look in the writings of the Arizal. Mevoyer, the Arizal explains, Shemem so shebemikva, hem keneged mem yoim she'olam Moshe. That the measurement of 40 saw, which is the minimum measurement of a mikveh, corresponds to the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu went up. So Rav Nosson Zal is saying, I didn't make this up. Because the Arizal shows the connection. I'm just explaining and showing to you exactly how the connection was. That just like during those 40 days, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to take the Jews from Shaloi Keseder, from Midas Hadin to Midas Harachamim, so too, when a Jew goes into 40 units of water, 40 saw of water, that has the ability to transfer the person from Tumah to Tahara, from Shaloi Keseder to Keseder. We've mentioned before, one of the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, about 100 years ago, his name was Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Books written about him, a great tzaddik, and he was known for being very big on mikveh. Even though he learned Torah all day, he would go to the mikveh sometimes 2-3 times a day. So one time there was a Rosh Hashiva coming to see him, and he comes to the house. Is he here? No, he's not home. Where is he? No answer. So I know, okay. And he sees him coming a couple minutes later with his payas wet, so he knows exactly where he's coming from. So he says, Rebbe, I have to ask you a question. You're swimming in Torah all day. You're in a mikveh all day. What do you need, mikveh? What do you need to... So the rabbi smiled at him and said, I'll tell you very clearly. He said, if a goy keeps Shabbos, he's still a goy. If a goy eats a glatt kosher ribeye steak, he still remains a goy. If he puts on tefillin tzitzis, mikveh is so unique. It's unique among the items in Yiddishkeit, in Judaism. A goy goes into the mikveh, he comes out a Jew. If he does it with the right intention, obviously. Conversion. A convert goes into the mikveh, comes out a Jew. He said, if mikveh can make from goy to Jew, imagine what it does for a Jew. Imagine when a Jew goes into the mikveh, what kind of transition, what kind of change, what kind of elevation the person experiences. And in fact, it was known among Rabbi Nachman writes a lot about mikveh, about the importance of mikveh, as did the Arizal and other tzaddikim. And it was known in Breslov that when a person has a crisis, chas v'shalom, any kind of crisis, they suddenly hear that somebody's very, any kind of crisis, the first thing is mikveh. Before Tehillim, the first thing is I go to the mikveh, because the Sforim write that when Hashem issues a decree against a person, they give the angels a picture. This is like they do in the cops and robbers. This is the guy you're looking for. He looks exactly like this. He's wearing a black suit and a... When a person goes into the mikveh and he comes out, different look, totally different look. The makatrigim, the prosecutors, the angels that are sent to prosecute him, if they see him after he came out of the mikveh, they see a different person, not the same person anymore. Obviously, this is not literally, this is spiritually. This is why this is not a small thing. It's something very special. And here Rav Nosson Zal gave us another explanation, that it corresponds, these 40 units of water correspond to these 40 days. We know, interestingly, Rav Rosenfeld, my rabbi, Zichron Avrocha, one of the most special things that he loved sharing with us was related to this. The Torah tells, the Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that it all starts from Rosh Chodesh Elul, that there's a 40-day period now of tshuva that begins from Rosh Chodesh Elul, and get your act together. And it gives a whole bunch of advice and guidance that even if you weren't so great the first 11 months of the year, this is your opportunity to fix everything, to clear your slate and everything. So we have these 40 days. That's a unit of time. A place, we just mentioned the mikveh, a location. There's a body of water, 40 saw of water that a person could go into, where he goes to this place and comes out a new person, changed, improved, new and improved. There's a debate in the Gemara regarding different certain types of tumah, whether they can be nullified or not. For example, if I have a pot of meat, a large pot of meat, I'm cooking for a wedding, there's going to be 1,000 people there, and the kitchen, they have these huge pots, they're cooking who knows how many, 50, 100 chickens in this pot to make the soup. And a goy, one of the non-Jewish workers, when he bought chicken also, and by accident his non-kosher chicken falls into this pot. If it looks different, if you can identify it, you have to grab it and pull it out. Obviously, that's the first thing. If it looks identical to the others, there's no way to distinguish, no way to differentiate, then the Gemara says that if there is enough, a certain quantity of kosher versus the non-kosher, the kosher can negate completely the non-kosher, the treif effects of the non-kosher, and the non-kosher becomes kosher. The rabbi said, since we don't want you benefiting from this in any way, we insist that you grab one of those chickens and throw it out. We don't want you to have made any profit on the deal. But technically, all that there were 60 kosher chickens, one non-kosher, we now have 61 kosher chickens. Although there are many exceptions to this rule. For example, if it's a spice, if the thing that fell in is a very spicy thing, we know that when it comes to pepper, you can have a big pot of soup with 100 gallons of soup. You put in one tablespoon of pepper, you're going to taste the difference. You're going to feel the effectiveness of that thing. There are certain things that are made for tam, where there it's not a 60-to-1 relationship. There, even if there's 1,000 times as much, it can possibly not negate the effects of it. And there's a whole bunch of other categories. One of the categories is a beria, a complete organism. If you have a fly, a whole fly, or you have a grasshopper, or anything, any non-kosher thing that falls into something, then whether you have 60 times as much or 100 times as much, it cannot negate the thing. Why? Because this is something of significance. You know, a chicken leg, a wing, a part of something can be negated. But a complete organism, it's called a beria, you can't say it's not. It didn't become nothing. It's something. It's a whole something. It's a whole thing. That's the general opinion in the Gemara, that a beria, afilu be'elef loy botel, a beria does not become botel even if there's 1,000 times as much against it. There is an opinion in the Gemara, though, that says that if you have 960 times as much of the kosher versus the non-kosher in this beria, it can negate it. And the Gemara shows how it comes to that calculation of 960. There's a special reason. So the Sifrei Chassidus write, and there's one opinion in Shulchan Aruch, the Ravid, that's mentioned in the Yerushalmi, and the Ravid, paskins like that. We don't follow it halacha lemaisa, but there is such an opinion. The Sifrei Chassidus write that this is giving us an important message in terms of tshuva, in terms of cleaning ourselves up. A human being is a barrier. A human being is an organism. A human being who commits sins, who does an avera, becomes a treif barrier. He becomes, he's non-kosher. He dirtied himself. He made himself non-kosher by going against the Torah. Can a barrier be negated? Can the non-kosher, can the tumah be, can he be made kosher? The answer is yes. If there's 960 times as much kosher as non-kosher, where do we see this? And they give several examples. One example is these 40 days of tshuva, because we know that a day is divided into 24 hours. So these 40 days actually have 960 hours. So if a Jew is zeicha to enter into that 40-day period from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur and to try to do what they can on their level to show that they regret what they've been doing till now and they're making a new beginning, those 960 hours can purify the barrier, can negate the negative in the barrier and make it kosher, make the person kosher. You have the 960, you have the 40 saw, a mikveh, the size of a mikveh is 40 saw, but we know if you look throughout Shas and Shulchan Aruch, when it speaks about liquid measure, the standard liquid measure is not saw, it's lug. Lug. We talk about a revius, we talk about making kiddush, a kiddush cup has to be a revius. What's a revius? A revius means a quarter. A quarter of what? A revius halug. The standard measurement, the default measurement of liquid throughout the Torah is lug. And we know that a saw is 24 lug. So that a mikveh is 40 saw, it's 960 lug. So that when a barrier, when a human being who is a complete organism, who's full of mud, goes into a mikveh, the mikveh can negate, the mikveh has that those 960 units of holiness to negate the tumah. Now we come to a third example. A person comes to a tzaddik. A person comes to a tzaddik. And they tell the tzaddik that I want you to know that I'm all messed up from head to toe. I'm covered with sins. I've done all kinds of bad things. I don't know where to begin. I don't know if I would want to come, I have no idea where to start. And the person makes the proper connection with the tzaddik. They seek out the help and advice and guidance of the tzaddik. And the tzaddik gives him a plan, how to start small. He doesn't tell him, you have to do 613 mitzvahs. He says, let's start with two things. Let's start with kashrus. Let's start with Shabbos. Let's start with making very easy. And he gently leads the person slowly, slowly to the person where the person is able to become a religious, a good person. We know that the Jew in the Torah who carries the title Tzaddik, Avraham is not called Avraham HaTzaddik, he's called Avraham Avinu. David is called David HaMelech. Each Tzaddik has their Moshe Rabbeinu. Yosef is called Yosef HaTzaddik. And there are reasons why, how a person has that title Tzaddik. Yosef, the word Yosef, has the letters Yud and Vav. Yud is 10. Vav is 6, that's 16. The letter pei in Hebrew, when you want to do multiplication, you say shtayim, shtei pa'amim this, or pa'amayim means double. The word pa'amim means to multiply. So the pei stands for pa'amim, yud vav, pa'amim samach. 16 times 60 is 960. To show that this same power that a mikveh has, what a mikveh is in location, what the 40 days of Elul and Yom Kippur are, a tzaddik is that we know that the physical world exists in three categories. There's time, space, and matter. The physical world is broken down into three categories. There's time, zman, mokoim, and matter, the level of creation, inanimate things, plants, animals, human beings. So in time, it's the 40-day period. In location, it's the mikveh. In matter, it's the tzaddik. All three of these have these 960 units of holiness, which have the ability to dissolve and to eliminate tumah, impurity, shalok haseder from a person's life. To be able to turn the shalok haseder into keseder. one tiny paragraph here, paragraph Zion. V'ze b'chinas v'o'id abomes ha'shamayim v'esoretz. And this is why when Moshe Rabbeinu was reviewing his life, at the end of his life, he said, and I will take as my witnesses heaven and earth. Ki shamayim v'oretz heim b'chinas nekud elyonu tukat ratoinu. This is all what we were talking about here. That the MS, truth, the way you establish truth is when you go from top to bottom, from aleph to tav, and that mem in the middle, that's the bridge, right? Top to bottom is Shomayim and Eretz, which are Nekud Aliyon Tachatana, Shehem Bechina Shnei Eden. This is the concept of the two witnesses that we were talking about here, that anytime two Jews get together, two people are never on the same level. There's always one that's above and the below. There's an upper and lower. When they unite and they're telling the truth, that establishes the truth, you know, in a solid legal way. We'll continue next week. Rav Nosson Zal is going to use this all as an introduction to explain Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and other things. Hold it over there.